लगाएंगे,
बंबई इंडियंस
जान लगाएंगे,
बंबई इंडियंस
जलवा दिखा देंगे हम,
बंबई इंडियंस
दोहा जला देंगे, पानी जला देंगे,
दुनिया हिला देंगे हम,
दुनिया हिला देंगे हम,
अब दुनिया हिला दे हम,
दुनिया हिला देंगे हम,
अब दुनिया हिला दे हम,
दुनिया हिला देंगे हम।
So it has been truly a roller coaster in the IPL this year, with the final cog in the qualifier ring having found in the last league game. That's right, last league game, Hyderabad convincingly beat Mumbai Indians by 10 wickets to reach the playoffs. So we at Cricket Unplugged are going to do a league stage round, and for this episode we have a special guest on our show. He is Abhinav Kumar, who is a lawyer from Gurgaon, and he is a keen observer of the game, and is also a part-time blogger, and most importantly, he is a Mumbai Indians fan. So Abhinav, welcome to the show.
Pleasure being here, Raghav. Pleasure being here. Thanks for the generous introduction.
No problem, and great to have you on board, because you have as usual Mumbai Indians bossing the group stages with absolutely no impact of their captain going away due to injury. Pollard took over with ease, so that is something which we'll discuss later on in the episode. But just your thoughts, I would say, to start off this episode on what has been truly, I would say, the best season of the IPL in a long time. Not only because it reached the last league game to find out who the four teams are for, who will play in the playoffs, but just the fact that in such times, in biosecure bubble up, we didn't have any unwanted incidents like we had in the English summer with Jofra Archer going out of bubble, something like that. Nothing came to light, and the quality of cricket, as in I personally expected all the pitches to crumble after, let's say, 15-20 games. But even the 56th game was a really good pitch. It was a belter, slightly on the slower side, but spoke loud, I think, throughout the tournament. So your thoughts on the IPL so far?
I think, like you said, I think, Raghav, the best season I have seen amongst all the seasons that have happened till now. I think the fact that one did not know that there were 6 out of 8 teams still in the running for a playoff spot by the time the last round of games came to town. I think that shows just how that itself is just a signal of how competitive this season of the IPL was. And I think no praise is high enough for how the BCCI, the Emirates Cricket Board, and all the healthcare officials and all have been able to conduct a fabulous tournament in the midst of a global pandemic, and considering all the biosecure bubbles and everything that are there, I think they've outdone themselves, I think, and to the players, I mean, they've every single player, I think, they've provided some quality cricket over the last 56 games, and there have been some fabulous performances, some great humbling stories that have come through, and I think it's been the best, easily the best IPL in terms of the competitiveness and the excitement levels that were there, and the pitches also. I mean, I think it was expected that the pitches will slow down. It is a natural process, because because it's just three stadiums in the UAE that are hosting the game, so it is bound to happen. It is bound to happen that the pitches would slow down. But at least, unlike the CPL, where we had, where towards the end we were having games where only 70 or 80 runs were being scored in inning and right. You know, innings at times. At least that did not happen on it, or maybe on only one or two occasions that happened. Or even if there were low scoring games, some of those low scoring games became probably the games of the tournament. So I think it's the competitiveness of all the eight franchises was amazing to see. I mean, how competitive the cricket was. Special shout out to all the ground staff that were working in the UAE. All the three grounds in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Sharjah. Superb tournament. They've outdone themselves.
Yeah, I think perfectly summed up where you said this has been probably the most competitive IPL amongst all, because we have not had a single game where outright we could rule out a team, which was the case, let's say, 3-4 years back, where we could clearly see a gap between the top four and the bottom four sides. So that way, this three IPL has been truly, including the last game. Although Mumbai had qualified, they gave Bolt and Bumrah a much, much deserved rest. Still, I was hoping for Hyderabad to qualify, actually, but I was expecting a close finish. So that says it all. 56 game and still, we are actually expecting a close finish. So that is got to do with the performances from individuals, let's say established players, internationals and uncapped. So first I want to get your opinion, who have been the best performers who are international stars. So let's not forget that many people haven't played any cricket before the IPL, if you take out the English and the West Indies players. So from that angle, so who have been the standout performers for you? So let's say 3-4.
One, I think I would say David Warner, quite obviously. I think, I think he's probably the first batsman to have 500 runs plus run seasons consecutively across. I think since 2015, he's not had one season where he's scored less than 500 runs in the season. And that's been, that just shows how phenomenally consistent he was. I mean, he's been a great, I think, for Sunrisers Hyderabad, he's been a franchise changer. He's been the franchise changer for Sunrisers Hyderabad since he's come in 2014 and becoming captain in 2015. He's just changed the franchise, changed him as a person as well. I think from all the reports that you read, all the things that you see from the socials, media handles of Sunrisers Hyderabad, when he is with the Sunrisers camp, he seems a much different personality than what he is when he's with the Australian national team. I think with the Sunrisers team, he suddenly seems a lot more calmer. He seems seems so much more affable, so much more approachable towards every player. I mean, especially younger Indian players, the way he's always looking out for the younger players. I think this year, I mean, the way he's from all the videos that he's had, he's doted on Priyam Garg, on guys like Priyam Garg, like a younger brother. He's taking them under his wing and been such a great influence on all the young players that they have. And his performances have been really brilliant. I think he's, as a leader too, he's getting back to captaincy once again, and he's I think he's taken them right. I think at the right time, at least these him, Trevor Bayliss, and the entire support staff got got their heads together and realized the setback, all the things that were going wrong, and they've managed to qualify for the playoffs. And Warner's performances have had a big part to play. I think 529 runs at an average of 44, and a strike rate of around 137. Fabulous performance. 450s for him. He's been one of the standouts. Second, I would say, of course, Jofra Archer. I think outstanding performance. The one man who was practically carrying the entire hopes of Rajasthan Royals on his shoulders. And what a performance he's had. I mean, whenever he would come on to bowl, it genuinely looked, he always looked like threatening to take a wicket on every single delivery he was bowling. Got 20 wickets, tied on third on the purple cap standings, and he'll not be able to increase. Fabulous average, in fact. I mean, I've went through his average, 18.25, and that economy rate of 6.55 just shows just how much in control he was during his bowling right through the IPL. I mean, with every spell he was coming in, it was like he was breathing fire. With every single spell he was coming out, to bowl. And fabulous performance. I think he's once again just showed why is he one of the premier white ball fast bowlers in the world right now. I think one of the absolute best that's going around. Another person who's really impressed me is Kahiso Rabada. I mean, he's come off a pretty long break as well. I mean, because even South African players have not had a lot of cricket since the start of the year. And he's been fabulous in the purple cap standings with 25 wickets. And his economy may be on the higher side, but at just over eight. But that's also a feature of the fact that he's been bowling the tough overs regularly. He's been the man who's had to pull back a lot of things towards the death overs, and outstanding performance from him. He's the man that Shreyas Iyer always looks out towards whenever he needs a wicket. He looks at Rabada as that man who'll get him the wicket, and Rabada's done it right through this season. I mean, the number of games he's turned around with his spells. I mean, especially that super over win over the Kings 11 Punjab. One of the best super overs those three deliveries. He just summed up just how brilliant a bowler he is. Another guy who's impressed me amongst at least the foreign stars. I've been very impressed with Trent Bolt. Actually, Bolt has because I think for all his prowess as a test match, as a proper high quality test match fast bowler, and somebody who's also very good in limit in ODI cricket, I don't think he was ever considered as a great T20 fast bowler. And I think credit to the way Mumbai Indians is. Strategic brain has functioned right through before this IPL, that they managed to bring him on a transfer from Delhi Capitals, and immediately they've had him bowl to his strengths immediately. I think I discussed it when I come down to discussing about the Mumbai Indians, but they've used him to his strengths. They've given him the responsibility of bowling in the power play overs, and I don't think anyone has picked up as many wickets in the power play this season. He's taken almost every single game in the power play overs this year. I mean, 20 wickets at an average of just around 21, and a bowling strike rate of just around 15, just shows that how good he's been. And joint highest number of maiden overs in the this IPL also. He's put 2 maiden overs. Just shows how brilliantly he's been in control with the ball. And amongst Indian names, of course, Jasprit Bumrah has been one of the standout bowler amongst all Indian bowlers. I think second on the purple cap, uh, purple cap standings with 23 wickets. Another again, the economy rate of just under 7, average of just under 16, I think, been so good to because Indian players have had a much tougher lockdown to end with, and the fact that he was before the IPL, he was coming in on the back of some iffy form, especially in New Zealand, because he was not really getting the victory over there, and he was coming on the back of a very serious injury, his first big injury crisis since starting off in international cricket. So outstanding, he's been such a treat to watch when he's come out to bowl, and 23 wickets this season just shows I mean all those naysayers who were saying the Bumrah has vanished in thin air, he's lost the zip that he had, he's effectively put all those naysayers back into cold storage he's put them back into the cold storage. I think they'll not be coming out of there, not be coming out for the next few months at least, with the way he's performed.
Exactly, they won't. They will know that. So I think all these names perfectly, they this is clearly visible as well, the way they perform for their teams, and it's visible in the way they where they stand in the orange cap, purple cap standings as well. And I would actually want to bring in two names, in my opinion, who don't actually feature in these lists, but in my opinion, they could be the MVP. Suppose that team goes on to win the IPL. So one is Rashid Khan. So the amount of respect opposition batsmen give to him speaks volumes about his skill as a bowler. So I clearly remember a game where SRH were up against Mumbai Indians, and it was the 18th over where Rashid Khan was finishing his spell. You had Kyron Pollard and Hardik Pandya in the middle, and with his all his might, he comes, plunks his foot down and blocks away Rashid Khan. He's not even looking at taking a single, nothing. He's just blocking Rashid Khan. So that is one main reason why you don't find Rashid Khan in the top 10 wicket takers as well. This year, you will find him in the top 3 when it comes to economy, because he's maximum, he has gone for his 32 in this spurt. That speaks volumes.
In this entire season, he's bowled at under 6 and over. In fact, it's 5.28. Amongst to have bowled at least 10 overs plus, I think he's had the best economy rate. And you're right. His wicket tally stands at only 19, which I think a lot of us think it's a little too low for somebody like Rashid Khan. But there's always the fear that is generated in every single opposition batting lineup is that it's so much that they basically are playing only 16 overs
Exactly the point I was going to say. Yeah.
Because they've counted out the 4 overs of Rashid as being that we cannot really strike at him, we cannot really go after him. Might as well just play him out. They've looked to, and he's capitalized on the fact that they look to play him out by getting the number of wickets that he's got. And you're right. One of the if we talk about the MVPs, I think he's definitely amongst one of those in contention.
Yes, and one more name which I want to bring up is Gabbar, Shikhar Dhawan. So I personally never rated him too highly as a IPL batsman, because he's not set the IPL ablaze like Rohit Sharma or maybe Virat from an Indian point of view. But the I think the sense of responsibility with the freedom which he gets when he plays for Delhi Capitals is clearly seen. So he knows that he has the likes of Marcus Stoinis, Shreyas Iyer, Shimran Hetmeyer in the middle order. So he can do his bit. He can express himself. And he broke all sorts of records, back-to-back hundreds. First time ever in the history of IPL. And then, of course, he followed it up with two ducks. But still, he came back and showed how good he is when he gets going. So he's pleasantly surprised me because I was, for one, predicted Delhi would win the IPL before it started. One of the reasons was I said somebody like Shikhar Dhawan and maybe even Shreyas Iyer, after a prolonged lockdown, could actually come out better players. Unfortunately, Shreyas Iyer hasn't had a great IPL as a batsman, but Shikhar Dhawan has proven me right. Amazing, the way he connects some of those cover drives, and it's pure classical cricket, actually. Absolutely no slogging, only some cheeky shots here and there, but that's when he's nearing his 90 or 100 run mark. So truly, he's been a breakout season for Shikhar Dhawan, because I don't think in recent memory Shikhar Dhawan would be in the top 5 run scorers in the Orange Cap list. So to see him at number 2 now is great. Great for Indian cricket as well, because they're going to Australia soon. So that is but again, now every season in IPL, we get a bunch of players who are the uncapped players. So who have not played for India as much, or who haven't played for the country as yet, but they have extreme potential. Like Jasprit Bumrah and the Pandya brothers were at one time uncapped players. Mm-hmm. And after their performance in Mumbai, they went to India, and now we know who they are. So this year, in my opinion, we have many names who have shown potential, but they have lacked the consistency. Like names like Washington Sundar, he has bowled extremely well, but off late he has tapered away. But he is performing his role, coming in the power play, keeping the runs down. So he's doing his bit. Then he had promising signs from Abdul Samad, Priyam Garg. Yes, they have. You can't judge players just on one season, but these guys have done well. But consistency and talent, I think two players come to my mind. They are Devdutt Padikkal, from RCB, and Natarajan from SRH. Consistently nailing the Yorkers. Almost he knows that opposition batsmen know his plan, that he's going to hit the Yorkers more often than not. Still, he goes ahead, and I think yes, I think crossed 50 Yorkers in this season alone.
Number of Yorkers that probably even Rabada and Bumrah have bowled. I think he's got bowled the most number of Yorkers amongst all the bowlers amongst all pacers in the IPL, especially in death overs. Crazy. And you're right. I think Devdutt Padikkal, T. Natarajan have been I think I've been most impressed certainly with Devdutt Padikkal. I think as he's looked such a dream when he's batting 470. He over 470 runs at an average of just around 34. The strike rate could have been a little better. I think 127 for an opener looks a little slightly iffy strike rate, but I think this is something that that will improve with time. I think he's still a 20-year-old youngster, and this is his first season in the IPL. So, but he's looked such a class apart when he's batting, especially his stroke rate through the offside. It's almost reminiscent the way he strokes the ball through the offside. It reminds me a lot of Yuvraj Singh. I think he gives a very Yuvraj Singh vibe when he's stroking the ball through the offside. So that's there, and I think he's been supremely impressive. I mean, as impressed with Ravi Bishnoi as well from Kings 11 Punjab. Out that boy has shown so much heart. I mean, as a leg spinner, one I think good thing for him was that he was he had somebody like he was under the guidance of Anil Kumble in the Kings 11 Punjab, who himself is one of the greatest leg spinners in the entire world, and he's his presence in that Kings 11 dugout meant that he Bishnoi would and I think the fact that Kings 11 in the auction made a massive beeline for Bishnoi was a sign that they was definitely Kumble is doing, and he definitely felt that he's going to use him quite extensively in this IPL, and for a rookie under 19 boy to emerge in his first season with 12 wickets is phenomenal. He's whenever he's trying to pull, I think he's been the one Kings 11 bowler that teams have looked to be a little wary against, because they've tried not taking him on as much as they would any other bowler. I mean, his economy rate is just around 7. He's in that 7.3 mark, and he's been so good to watch bowl. He's been very impressive, and another uncapped Indian player that's impressed me is actually Varun Chakravarti of the Kolkata Riders. I think what they lacked this year massively from both Kuldeep Yadav and Sunil Narayan with the ball, I think Varun Chakravarti has come up and he's done both. He's taken up both those responsibilities so well. I mean, he's had 17 wickets, I think, this year, this season in the IPL. 17 wickets at a supremely good economy rate of 6.84, which just shows that how much an opposition batsman has had to look out for. And I think all the trolling and all, I think last year when he got bought for 8.4 crores by the Kings 11 Punjab, I think he was very unlucky. He just got the one game, got injured after that, did not really play a lot. But the fact that he was bought by the Kolkata Knight Riders at a very hefty price tag of 4 crores in the auction showed that how much faith that KKR had on him, because even in the big auction that he was bought by the Kings 11, KKR were going in very heavily after him, and that was only because of the fact that Dinesh Karthik, who's seen him bowl in the TNPL, knows what the guy is about. And that's really been... And I think where Dinesh has not been able to utilize somebody like Kuldeep well, he's been able to derive a lot of benefits. He's been able to get him as well as Owen Morgan have been able to get a lot out of Varun Chakravarti. His variations have been, he's kept batsmen guessing with him. He's kept them, because... He's in that mystery spinner bracket, right? So you do not know whether he's going to bowl a spinner, leg spinner, whether he's going to come out with a googly or a dusra or a carom ball or whatever. He's kept them all guessing, and he's been and that sense of mystery that he's kept around him, I think that's probably helped him get a rushed international call up in the T20 side for Australia. I mean, all the things he's deserved it, because he's done really well to get it, because for somebody who, again, is coming out into the IPL after coming up to having injury issues and all, he's come out there and he's performed so well. This shows the character that this boy has. So it's amazing. Yeah. He's been able one of the most beautiful stories to have emerged in this year's IPL of somebody, an architect of a cricketer who quit the game, turned to architecture, and then came back to the game. I think I think these are the stories that that also make the IPL what it is. I mean, yes. amazing story. Varun Chakravarti, Ravi Bishnoi, and Devdutt Padikkal have been the ones that have impressed me.
Yeah, I would agree with the names, but only reason I didn't bring up Chakravarti's name earlier is for the fact that he is a mystery spinner. So I think each team didn't know what to expect.
Exactly.
So I think you had to give credit to Varun Chakravarti for making use of that. So I am not yet sold on him as a T20 bowler. Although he's had a great season, he's been called up to the Indian team. But I get a feeling, I hope he doesn't go the Ajanta Mendes way. But he have a great breakthrough year. So that is my only fear because he's bowling well. So I would say extremely great story, good bowler, but I think as you perfectly said earlier as well, Ravi Bishnoi's heart he had, the kind of situations he was put, or even for that matter, even Murugan Ashwin, that duo was spearheading the attack. And he had the likes of Chris Jordan and Shami bowling around them, actually. So,
yes.
I would say those are the names which had to be talked about, maybe on an equal front when you speak about spinners and players that uncapped players. But I think it's a great story, as you say. And one more point is very evident that whatever you do in the domestic circuit, that helps to a certain degree. But if you have a great IPL season, it automatically takes you into the Indian team. And now it's up to him to prove that he is a spinner. So that we will know soon. If
exactly. I actually share the same fears that you have about Varun Chakravarti, because even on Twitter, when the team was announced, even I had the same fear that, this has been a little too rushed. I think the fact that the probably selectors just got a little too carried away with the fact that he got that 5-wicket haul, because the team was announced just maybe a day or two after that game, and I think they probably got a little too my fear is that they probably have been a little too carried away, and I just I hope it doesn't happen. But if he plays a game and he gets smashed around, I hope it does not wreck the confidence that he has on abilities as a bowler. So I think I have those fears as well, like you do. But hopefully, I think if he's been able to come through the situation that life has put him through, with the way he's emerged, I think if he can get through those situations in his life itself. Then I think getting through that on a cricket pitch may not be the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, correct. I agree. So this test that India also, if you look at that, India's limited over team, we have Sahel and Kuldeep, but we are not sure that Kuldeep is Kuldeep like of 2018. Or 2019. His form has seen a dip in the last year's IPL, and it's continued actually into his Indian performances. So we need some spinners in form for India. So that's where people like Washington Sundar and now Varun Chakravarti add to that. And hopefully they can get enough game time when they go to play in Australia and prove everybody right. So that's about that, but again, moving on. So every season is a every captain. So for multiple reasons. One is you have your name tag, personal pride to play for. Like let's say Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, or let's give a classic example of the most successful and most popular captain, I would say, in Indian Premier League history, MSD. So you have such big hopes pinned on one player, and he's not played cricket for 15 months leading up to the IPL. Then you have this pandemic, so it makes the excitement and the thrill to see how he performs as a captain go up, maybe let's say twice or thrice the level it may have been earlier. But that's where my next question comes in. As in the eight franchises, apart, in my personal opinion, I actually don't see any clear favorites when it comes to the best captain this year. If you look at, every captain has had his some rough times. Apart, I think we can give that title to Rohit Sharma and Karan Pollard, the way they have managed. Smooth transition. But apart from that, Kohli has struggled. Like he has always. He has had some great games as a leader, but then he has some really dubious selection calls when you pick Dale Steyn, a completely out of form Dale Steyn, and then you lose few games on the trot. Or let's say even Shreyas Iyer, his inexperience more than anything came to haunt him in the lead up to the playoffs, where when the chips were going down, he didn't have answers. Or surprisingly, Dhoni. Yeah. Means why I say surprisingly and not shockingly is, the simple point is, even though he was struggling and not doing that well for India prior to 2019 edition of the IPL, we kind of expected he would land in the yellow colours and do well as a captain, if not as a batsman. Anyway, keeping, he's pretty good. So the captaincy bit, I sort of expected that somehow he will manage to bring up, because he has a familiar core group of players and bank on them, and they will make a rather aging side look much, much better than they are on paper. So, but even he has struggled. So, which is my point, my question is, am I right in saying that Rohit Sharma and Karan Pollard are the best captains in this IPL from strategy point of view, team selection, player management, most important aspect in a tournament like IPL? So who has been that captain for you in this edition?
I think I'll have to agree with you. I think because a lot of the captaincy this season, I mean, in terms of personal performances or team performances, have been relatively mediocre, quite surprisingly. I mean, so in that sense, I think Rohit Sharma and Karan Pollard at Mumbai Indians, I think probably have to be the by default have to be picked as the best captains in the IPL in terms of the way on the strategy and team performance point of view. I mean, because they've, because I think the good thing with the Mumbai Indians is that because the team, because the core unit of the Mumbai Indians is so well settled and experienced, so even if Rohit did not play 3-4 games, it did not, and Pollard had to take charge as the captain, it did not bring about any noticeable change in the way the Mumbai Indians was playing. The fact that that core group was so settled and comfortable in their respective places in the squad, it just made the captain's job a lot more easier. But yes, in terms of the way they've handled the strategy from the strategy point of view, I think the one moment that really impressed me, Captain Rohit Sharma for me this IPL, was how they took to the chase, took to the defense of that 190 odd score they had against the Rajasthan Royals. I think because they were coming in and coming to that game with some decent amount of form, and what he did was in that game was that he immediately he gave Trent Bolt the first over and had Jasprit Bumrah bowl the bowl along open the bowling alongside Bolt in that game, taking the new ball in the second over, and that is a great move because he immediately figured out that he needs to use his best bowler to take on their the Rajasthan Royals' best batsman in that side, which is, and he that battle worked out quite well. I think Trent Bolt got him in the end. I think it was Bumrah only who got through Steve Smith, that worked out very well because it showed that Mumbai and Rohit were approaching the defense of a 190 plus total like they were defending a 120 score, which has always been one of the great things that I've always been admirable about the Mumbai team's mindset, that they defending a big score, they come out defending, as if they're defending a small total, and they have to be at their absolute best with the ball. So that was a moment that impressed me a lot. The other that impressed me was, I think, Pollard's captaincy against Chennai Super Kings as well as against RCB in those two games, two of the captaining. His tactics were absolutely spot on. He did not really let RCB those teams get away with the game, especially RCB, because they got such a brilliant start, and how he marshaled his bowlers in pulling the game back and strategically bringing himself on to bowl that one crucial over that got that when he got rid of AB de Villiers to and post match press conference, he said that he's a big believer of matchups and looking at favorable matchups against a batsman. And he realized that he does have a bit of an edge over AB de Villiers as a bowler, and luckily it was good to see that worked, and his belief in matchups and data was also, I mean, I heard that fabulous episode that Gaurav Sundararaman shot with Kapoor on 82 yards, where he spoke about Pollard is much more of a thinking cricketer than what actually he perceived to be. And he spoke about how carefully Pollard, how seriously Pollard looks at data and data analytics and matchups. That game against RCB was, and his introduction into the bowling attack was pivotal from that point of view, that he, of how much he values him, seriously he takes his captaincy job. In terms of personal performances, I think it was, say KL Rahul in terms of personal performance was the best. The fact that leading the Orange Caps he's leading the Orange Cap race with 670 runs, with more than a lead of more than 30 runs plus over the next batsman in the list, which is David Warner. Mm-hmm. Shows that how great a tournament he's had with the bat. He probably could have been a lot... that strike rate could have been a lot better. That strike rate of 129.34, it is the lowest strike rate for a batsman to win the Orange Cap in the IPL till now, alongside after Michael Hussey. In 2013, so I think from that point of view, I think he took a little too much load on himself instead of empowering the others around him. But also not his probably not solved because this is his first proper captaincy gig, and Kings 11 was still a lot lot more of an imbalanced squad. So I think he was forced more. He had to really curb his natural instincts of being the natural aggressor he is, and had to curb the things down. But in terms of personal performances, I think he, KL Rahul, head and shoulders is ahead every other captain. In terms of strategy and team performance, I think Rohit Sharma and Karan Pollard probably take the cake because every other captain has shown bouts of heavy inconsistency. David Warner has had his ups and downs as a captain. Virat Kohli as a white ball captain. Even today, he does not, personally speaking, he does not impress me as a white ball. He hasn't impressed me as a white ball captain ever. MSD looked way too, had a very shocking season as a captain as well. Probably not much of his doing because he was kind of, his hands were also tied by the situation that he had contend with. But I think even otherwise, even if they are taking that into consideration, even captaincy-wise, his IPL wasn't great. Shreyas Iyer looked under the pump, especially after Delhi lost those four games on the trot. So I think, even Steve Smith was also a bit of a liability to the Rajasthan Royals as a captain. And lesser said about the situation at KKR, the better it is. So I think
exactly. So I didn't mean that move.
I
completely.
There's no other option. In terms of the options, you really
can't.
Not spoiled for choices.
Yeah. The clear cases we have promising signs. If you are looking at Kingston, Punjab, Delhi Capitals, and I strongly feel Steve Smith should be, maybe they should rethink their captaincy strategy for the next season, the Royals, because I think Steve Smith can offer a lot as a batsman and as a fielder. That if we just let go of the captaincy tag, if we take that away from him. And or if you look at even David Warner, I think the balance was going extremely well in 2019 when Johnny Bairstow was in red dot form. So Johnny Bairstow sucked. So Warner, like you said, like KL Rahul, Warner was caged. So he was not sure whether to go all play in takes some time, and then so that's not his game. So Warner goes from ball one. So that chink in their armor came, I think, that I would say issue was sorted immediately when they brought in Saha into the picture. Saha made freedom Warner. So that way there are a lot of captains as well going forward. If they can the easily visible signs. Like I'll give 2-3 classic examples. When you have players like Imran Tahir and Mitchell Sadner playing only one game and two games in the full season, you know there's something wrong in the team selection, in the squad selection. You cannot go back to the old CSK believes in a core set of players. You want to, I agree, it's worked earlier. This season, it's not working. They didn't give them world. Imran Tahir was a purple cap holder and he came to this IPL in some really good form in this CPL. It was really shocking when we saw that he played only two games. And the way RCB have managed somebody like a Moeen Ali has actually bemused me, because Moeen the 4 hours and he can anywhere. I guess even if you want, you can ask him to open the batting as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So he's a floater and they picked him only in one or two games. So it's kind of pretty obvious. And then, of course, the biggest disappointment of them all this season would be the Big Show not showing up at all. So Glenn Maxwell being picked for all the 14 games. And not even crossing, not even showing signs of being the force he could be. So those are clear signs where some cases where the inexperience is coming to play. Where KL Rahul, they, as a captain, may have felt slightly burdened to pick up Maxwell for the price tag which Maxwell holds. So there are a lot of learnings, I would say. But as you said, and that's where I want to probably end our league stage roundup episode, by getting a fan's perspective of probably the most dominant and reputed franchises in the IPL, that is Mumbai Indians. So for a person like me, who I don't have a specific loyalty to any franchise, so I support teams where some of Delhi Capitals came into the picture this season, because I am a big fan of, I would say huge fan of Ricky Ponting, the player, captain, and now he's the coach of Delhi Capitals. So that's where it started. Then you have players like Rabada, Ashwin, who I rate. So there are many things which made me believe. I'm looking at the squad by saying that, yes, this time Delhi can go all the way. So, but keeping that aside, one thing I knew coming into this side was that Mumbai Indians are going to qualify. So even before the tournament. So couple of things is the reputation they have, which outstanding belief in their players. They have, I would say, 8 ready-made selections. There's no doubts about 8 players. And you have a player like Nascent Malinga opting out of the IPL to personal reason. And they're like, it's fine. Any other franchise would have sweat for a long time thinking who to replace. They bought in a relatively unknown commodity in IPL, at least, James Pattinson. And the puzzle is sorted. As somebody from looking at Mumbai Indians from outside, I think it's frustrating to see how perform on most of the seasons, because we want to see new faces emerge as an orange cap holder, purple cap holder, MVP, and even the champions. But looks like this year we would get KL as orange cap holder, so a new face. Purple cap may come to Rabada or Bumrah. So the fight is again, it might end up in a Mumbai Indians player's head, is the thing, and even MVP, who knows. So you want to see new champions coming out. But I cannot deny the fact that looking at the top 4 this year, Mumbai Indians are way, way ahead of the 3 other teams. The aspect. So I would like to end this episode by giving the floor, giving the mic to you, to keyboard or say, describe the Mumbai Indians strategy, which is working so well over the years. And do you think they will beat the odd things? Since they won all the titles in 2 odd years, do you think 2020 would be the game changer as far as that superstition goes? So all over to you from a Mumbai Indians fan.
So what impresses me from as a Mumbai Indians fan is, I think amongst all the 8 teams, I think they probably have the best scouting unit amongst all teams. I think that is guaranteed. The number of players that they scout out every season, and the number of people who the fact that they've had 3 players from their scouting system already go and play for India, and 2 of them becoming mainstays of the Indian team across formats, just shows that how much how big a contributor to the Indian cricket pipeline has Mumbai Indians been. 2, I think you're right. I think they after 2010, once they made it to their first final, I think a lot of things changed for them since then. I think they just had a little bit, they just were a lot more planned about how their team strategy is going to be, about what they need to do, about how they need to approach every game. I think nobody uses, I already hinted a little bit about matchups and data at how critically Mumbai looks
data and matches, and I think they nobody apart one of the earliest earliest users of proper using hard data and analytics to in T20 cricket were the Kolkata Knight Riders, but Mumbai Indians have really taken that up very, very quickly, and they've become one of the most really taken to the idea of using matchups and using data and analytics in cricket into a very different level altogether. The kind of data they source from their data analytics team is of a very deep nature. Go into ground specifications. They look at what the angles of a ground are, which areas of a ground where do their batsmen or their bowlers need to take care of while they're batting or bowling. In terms of an opposition batsman, what are the weaknesses that opposition batsman has, and which bowler is most equipped to tackle that, hammer at those weaknesses, or which bowler of an opposition has a particular delivery that needs to be watched out for. I think that sort of deep dive into data analytics is quite rare in cricket, and Mumbai Indians have done it better than most other teams. And talking about this is one thing, but being able to implement it out on the field to a tee and ensure that your also takes a lot. And I think Rohit Sharma, it's been a great thing that Rohit is probably the most data savvy IPL captain in terms of how he uses data. His tactical acumen is sharp enough that he's able to implement the plans that the team management has been able to formulate on the basis of all the data that they've been able to accumulate. He's been able to implement that in a live situation, in real-time situations, is also credible. Because very settled unit. You do not see, no team has made fewer number of changes than Mumbai Indians this year. No team has, in fact, used as less number of players that Mumbai Indians have. I think they've used only, 14 or 15 players at max. I think Jayant Yadav played
15, that's it, only 15.
15 players.
Only maybe. 4 changes. Yeah. And one was forced because of Rohit Sharma's injury. So, forced change. So, yes. I think, amazing. Yeah, just 4. Sure.
What that also does is that when you're giving the players a longer run, you're giving them a consistent run in the team. It also shows that the team, also a sign that the team management is heavily invested in you. They are backing you to be able to perform, and that's been the hallmark of the Mumbai Indians in almost every single edition where they've been able to win the title. That they've not had one runaway performer with the bat or the ball. They've always had different games for them with the bat or the ball. So in one game there will be a Surya Kumar Yadav who will say that I will take the team home in a chase, or we are able to set up a score good enough to be able to, which can be defended, or there's an Ishan Kishan who will say that I'll go out there in a tough situation and I'll ensure that I'm able to drag the match at least to a super over if it can be, which we did against the Royal Challengers Bangalore, and then the 50-20,
yes.
Or there'll be a game where the bowlers, where a Trent Bolt has put his hand up and said that I'll get you the early wickets. I'll ensure that I wreck a CSK at 3 for 4 and ensure that they do have a way back into the game. Or there's a Rahul Chahar started out slow, but in some of the games he's just imposed his presence on the game. He's put his hand up and said, I'll ensure that I'll strangle the team out in the middle over. Krunal Pandya has turned up and said that give me what you have to do, if you need me to finish a game off.
finish an innings off. I'll do a 20, a 4 ball 20. I'll give you a couple of overs of smart play if you want. So every game they've had a different performer, match winner stand up. Yeah. They've not had, or in some games, Quinton de Kock has turned up, said, I'll ensure that I'm taking the team home on my own. Nobody needs, you just need to bat around me. I'll drag the team out to a victory on my own. And so I think they have always been ones where they've had multiple match winners coming out from everywhere. So you see that you'll not have, there are very few purple people in the top 10, they have very few people, top 10, top 20, they have very few people in the orange cap standing. So only Ishan Kishan, Surya Kumar Yadav, and Quinton de Kock are amongst the three players in the top 15 run getters this season.
Yes, it's not even top 10. Right.
Not even top 10. I think only de Kock and Ishan Kishan probably come into the top 10. Otherwise, nobody else is there. And that's been a facet of how they, at least, of how their batting has gone about. And at times you've had, and we've not even talked about what the nuclear power, everything of Iron Man is created in that arc core reactor. Mumbai's arc core is that 5-6 that number 5 and number 6 of Pollard and Hardik Pandya. Destructive they've been in some of the games that they've walked out to bat, or when Pollard has taken up the ball whenever it need be. So they've stood up whenever it's turned up. And one thing that Mumbai Indians has, I think the greatest thing why it does is, which this year the Delhi Capitals has replicated very well, is of using two quality over fast bowlers in your bowling lineup, that you have amongst your four overseas players, two of them have guaranteed fast bowlers, and Mumbai have used that strategy really well over the years. You've had a Lasith Malinga pairing with Mitchell Johnson or Jason Berendorf or someone, and they've been able to use that very well. And this year, Jasprit Bumrah, Trent Bolt, and James Pattinson or Nathan Coulter-Nile have really stepped up for Mumbai. Was the first half of the tournament where he's almost every other game he was getting a wicket towards the power play. Again, Pattinson, like you mentioned in your preview, the fact that the announcement of Pattinson as Malinga's review as a replacement was immediate. To say that that James Pattinson is replacing Malinga, the announcement of Malinga pulling out and Pattinson being summoned as his replacement was immediate. It shows that Mumbai was always planning two steps ahead of every other team, that they were having backup plans for every possible scenario that they could have been confronted with. So it was inconceivable to think that Mumbai have made a rushed call in picking James Pattinson. It's something that even I spoke to a lot of other people as well, and I defended this, seeing that a lot of people were questioning why Mumbai did not offer a spinner as a replacement, like RCB did get Adam Zampine. So I said that Mumbai's strategy has always been that they'll trust overseas fast bowlers rather than an overseas spinner to do the job, because overseas spinners have never really shown at for the Mumbai Indians. And the fact that they replace, and what Pattinson does very well is he bowls those hard lengths and has a good heavy ball on him. And that those heavy balls that pitched at those hard lengths have actually been the wicket taking deliveries for many bowlers in this IPL. So he's been able, and he bowls heavy balls at a good pace. He bowls them at 140 pace, and that's worked really well for him this season. 11, I think he's got 11 wickets this season. In I think nine or ten games that he played, and he's done well for Mumbai. So those things have worked out very well for Mumbai. I think the fact that they've given to all their players that they will get a run of games in the team no matter what. It shows that and when a player gets that security, they more often not are able to turn up and perform.
Yes. Yeah. I think perfectly summed up. So even some points I would like to actually add from what you said, which are the hallmarks of Mumbai Indians, is the fact that they have a clear-cut talent scouting. I think the best in the IPL, without a doubt. Although if you look at CSK's performances in the IPL, they haven't found too many talents apart from R. Ashwin or who have come out from that team. But Mumbai Indians is a constant contributor to Indian cricket over the years. Their brothers, Bumrah. So that is one. And then backing the players to the hilt, which was a trademark of franchise like even CSK. But shockingly, this season, they have not done that. And you get MS Dhoni coming up and saying, I didn't see the spark in the youngsters. You have got to pick the youngsters first.
Exactly.
And then you can talk about spark not being there. So those are the things which Mumbai Indians, the integrity which they have built, they know that there is a expectation to deliver. And as you hit the nail on the head, they have clear-cut plans. So absolutely, I could get what you're saying when you brought up the James Pattinson point. It was not a surprise whatsoever. I'm pretty sure heading into this IPL, especially being in a bubble kind of situation, they had backups. So if you look at their squad, they haven't played Chris Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine Chris Lynn, if he's known for anything, it is tonking the ball at it from the word go, especially exactly. In the T20 format.
Exactly.
And look at the
somebody like Shafin Rutherford, who's been talked about so heavily in the West circles. They did not try him out. They did not give a go to Anukul Roy, who's also discussed quite a lot in India's domestic circles. Is a former Under 19 World Cup winner, and also I think the fact that they've had these players sitting on the bench and not being tried out, it just shows that how deep Mumbai's bench strength was. Even Coulter Nain got a few games, and that too it was the second half of the season. So it just shows that how, and Mitch McLenaghan has not played a game this season for them. It just shows that how deep that bench strength goes for Mumbai.
Yeah, so I think that is one clear visible thing, and the best way I would like to sum up this great episode is that if you ever need to know or find out which team in the IPL has the best role definition from paper to the ground, it is Mumbai Indians.
Exactly.
Because you have Quinton de Kock and you have his replacement as Chris Lynn. So for overseas batsmen at the top of the order, if he doesn't fire, you have Chris Lynn waiting in the wings. You have James Pattinson. If he doesn't fire, you have Kootenay. Then example why Mitchell McLaghlin hasn't played, because Trent Bolt has been so good. Mm. He's the like for like. So the simple fact that every player in their playing 11 has a like for like replacement waiting in the wings. And this is not only this year with the bubble concept where you have to pick extra players in your squad, because you can't keep flying in players for obvious factors. So even then, you don't have many players getting a game. That goes on to say a lot about their current chances as a whole, because that is one thing I guess we both are discussing as well, offer that something which CSK fans will breathe a sigh of relief the way they finished this campaign, because the IPL is nothing without Mumbai Indians and Chennai Super Kings, or the El Clasico, as it's fondly called. So yes. This year, actually, to be frank, the El Clasico were pretty dampeners, we had called it, because Chennai were not. So I hope that things get better, because IPL would need that old CSK to come back. But truly, as I said before, I asked you to get a Mumbai Indians fans perspective. It is truly admirable. Like Ricky Ponting handed over his cap to Rohit Sharma in 2013, and that single-handedly changed the fortunes of Mumbai Indians, is what Harsha Bhogle said, even in Cricbus Live. So the fact that a person of Ricky Ponting's stature realized that for the franchise comes above all. Yes, I have won all the world titles for Australia. I have played well. Actually, to his credit, he was batting well in that IPL. But Mumbai Indians were in a 4 or 5 game losing streak. So Ponting realized like he was eating up one by staying in the 11, and he is not adding much as a leader. So such things you don't get to see in sides which are not from the leadership group to the players. They can Mahila Jayawardene as a coach from last 3 years. Shane Bond. So even from that, it is fixed. There's no changes happening. So settled and truly confident, I think that's the word to use. Players get the confidence by knowing that they get a long run. So what more do you need? So yeah, that.
Right, and what you said about the captaincy switch that happened in 2013, the thing that I've and I related to this year in Kolkata Knight Riders, the reason why Ricky Ponting actually quit the captaincy was because he realized that he's not holding the place. He does not hold the place in a team as a captain itself, let alone as a player itself. He is not holding a command a place. So even in 2018, when Delhi Capitals shifted the captaincy from Gambhir to Shreyas Iyer, it was because Gambhir realized that he is not able to command a team place in that 11 as a player itself, let alone. So a captaincy switch works out the best only when the player realizes that I'm not able to command my place in the team as a captain, as a player itself.
Yes, so I agree.
My place inside as a player, I cannot be captaining this side because I'm heating up spot for some other player, and that's something that really, and like Harsha Bhogle said in that Cricbus video, that captaincy switch completely changed the Mumbai Indians' entire history.
Exactly.
Most of history that did.
Exactly.
It just changed for how Mumbai Indians became as a team, and then Ponting, in fact, returned as a coach, won them the second title in 2015. And he... The head coach change in 2017 with Jayawardene other people in the support staff like Robin Singh and all, they've been long term members of that Mumbai Indian support staff, so they know.
Yes.
It is about what management is what do they need to do as part of the team management to help the players around. So they've
which is also a great hallmark of CSK that they had, or Kolkata Sanjeev era, or Sunrisers Hyderabad, that they maintained a great degree of consistency and continuity of the people who are in the back room. Because if you're keeping the back room settled, the front office will, if you're keeping the back room engine stable, the front office will always be able to find its way through.
Agreed. Perfect. Yeah. So that's a classic reason why you have Kingsland, Punjab, RCB, even to a large extent, Delhi Capitals, not making it to the playoffs itself. On most occasions, you keep changing leadership because the team is not, franchise is not performing well. You keep relying on two players like RCB, even now, Kohli and De Villiers. After a point, you are going to get found out. So, IL is after all billed as the toughest league in the world, toughest T20 league in the world, and rightly so. So, I think truly, truly great, great episode. And then, yes, it has been a memorable league stage with us getting to know that SRH has qualified for the playoffs in the last game, 56th game. So, hoping for a closely fought playoffs and final as well. And let's see, probably Mumbai Indians would take on Delhi Capitals. And my personal opinion, as I said, I want Delhi to win the trophy, but I won't be surprised if Mumbai Indians can break their odd jinx and get a fifth title this season. They look that good. So I won't feel that bad as well if Delhi reads the final and maybe Mumbai beat them, because Mumbai are the best side, the performance-wise and players-wise, in the top four now. So great, great having this discussion, and hoping for a great playoff starting tomorrow, where Mumbai take on Delhi. And I think Mumbai would hope that the break which Bumrah and Bolt and even Hardik Pandya got would actually help them and not push them back. Because if they pushes them back, then you're looking at a slightly trickier situation where you need to play one more game to reach the final. So that's the only
Do it in one shot. Ensure that you do not have to travel anywhere, because the finals anyway is happening in Dubai.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
Dubai, I think, might as well not take the risk. Do it in the first go itself, and ensure that you can give all these players a bit of a breather before the final, keep them all relaxed and ready, and be able to unleash the guns for the final. So let's hope. As a neutral cricket fan, I would actually want to see a new champion emerge. I mean, as a Mumbai fan, of course, I'd want to see Mumbai win, but more than that, as a cricket fan, I'd want to see good cricket from all the in all the four games. There should be quality cricket coming through, and as a neutral lover of the game, I'd probably see a new champion finally having a fairy tale first championship, or to continue the theme of an unpredictable 2020, maybe Isala Cup number 8.
Yeah, they have a chance. They reach the playoff, so you can't completely rule them out. So, yeah, as I said, we are looking at new. We want something new. Everybody wants something. Even if you are a fan, you are a fan of any franchise. I think at the end of the day, we want to see. So at least from a personal point of view, I'm happy that KL Rahul would most likely get the orange cap, unless Shikhar Dhawan has a miraculous run in a couple of games to follow. So
even David Warner.
That way I'm happy. We got something new. Because every time, as I keep saying, every time you have a Chennai-Mumbai final, every time you have somebody from Mumbai or Chennai reads Chennai get the purple cap or the orange cap.
No, orange cap has been basically a David Warner property. It's basically been a, in fact, a better put it, it's been a Sunrisers Hyderabad property last four out of five seasons. A bit of a change in, Italy would not want the literal orange cap go to the team that is actually wearing orange. So I think maybe a bit of a change would be appreciated there. But whoever wins, I think it should be a, just good cricket should come through.
Exactly. That's what even I hope. Yeah. On that note, thank you. Thank you for coming on cricket. And hopefully, as you said, we have some great games coming up, and we haven't had too many one-sided affairs this season. So let's hope that that trend continues in the next 4-5 days. On that note, thank you so much, and bye. And from, I guess, hopefully this goes out to all Mumbai Indians fans as well. Great team, but as I said, let's hope for a new champions. Nothing personal against your team, but I just want something new to happen. So I would like them to reach the finals if that keeps them happy. So on that note, I would end this episode. Thanks again.
Welcome, Raghav. Pleasure being here.
Thank you so much.